This is Healthy Children with Melanie Cole and expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
Every year around the summertime, the CDC begins analyzing the flu viruses that are circulating in the southern hemisphere to get an idea of what we can expect during the winter months in the northern hemisphere. And last year, in 2014-15, you might remember that the flu virus mutated and the flu vaccine didn't seem to be, well, we heard it wasn't as effective as the mutated strain. And so it left people with a lot of questions about the flu vaccine, what they can expect for this year, and has it changed again? Of course, my guest today is Dr. Wendy Sue Swanson, board-certified pediatrician and fan favorite here on Healthy Children on Radio MD. So Dr. Swanson, let's talk about the flu vaccine for this year. What do we know?
Well, here's what we know. We have a better matchup. So let's start by saying, of anything we know about influenza, the virus that we're trying to protect when we talk about flu vaccine, we know it's unpredictable. So you're right. You know, we start early in the year. There are 100 centers around the globe that constantly, every single week, provide influenza surveillance so you can kind of predict what's coming. Then you produce a vaccine as a best guess estimate of which strains, kind of what type of the virus is going to come to the United States, for example, as the most prevalent strains. And then we put that in the vaccine. Any given year, we think the flu vaccine is about 50 to 60% effective. Now, that doesn't sound that great to some people, and sometimes I think that dissuades people, and I frankly don't think that it should, in the sense that some vaccines are 99% effective, meaning you get the vaccine and you'll never get the infection 99% of the time. Flu is about 50 to 60%, but it's still our best shot at protecting our children, our elderly, those with diabetes, those with cystic fibrosis, those with underlying neurologic problems, and healthy kids from having influenza, being hospitalized, getting something like pneumonia, or even dying. You know, we had over 140 children in this country who passed away last year from influenza, the virus that we are using the vaccine to protect, and half of those kids had no underlying health problems. So this isn't just an illness of the elderly or the really young. It's an illness that can affect kind of anyone. So what we know about this year is our strains are very well matched up. So you talked about that drifted strain, the H3N2. That's the technical term for that virus that was not included in last year's flu vaccine. So far from what we've seen of influenza that's here in the United States, it typically is that H3N2, and that's in our vaccine this year. So
wow.
We think we're going to have much better matchup than we did last year when we weren't able to provide as much protection as we wanted.
Will the flu vaccine be readily available this year? I know in some years past it's been like a mad rush for the flu vaccine when the H1N1 and all these things, and then there wasn't enough and people were in long lines.
Yeah, well, you ask a good question. We have to make vaccines, you know, readily available, and they have to be convenient, right? Or it's hard for families to get it done. Let's face it, we're busy. People, you know, aren't thinking about this on a daily basis like we pediatricians are. The flu vaccine is widely available, distributed throughout all 50 states right now, and in all different forms. So I want to talk to you. There are two different kinds of vaccines. There's what's called a 3-strain and a 4-strain. And that's a little technical, but we don't have any recommendation one over the other. One of the vaccines, you know, the 3-strain has two types of what's called influenza A and one of B. The 4-strain has two types of A and two types of B. But you remember, so flu shot clinics are usually available for most pediatric offices or even family practice offices. Most pharmacies stock vaccine, particularly for older children. So, you know, what we know is that every child, we want every family to know that every child over age 6 months, this is an essential vaccine every year because the vaccine has changed each year, and we believe that there's kind of mounting protection you get year after year. So the reason that kids under age 5 are at higher risk for complications of influenza is that we consider them a little bit what's called flu naive, meaning that you and me, I mean, I'm 41 years old. I've been wandering around this planet for 40 years. I've been exposed to influenza year after year after year. So my antibodies in my bloodstream, I have a little bit of cross protection. Little kids just haven't been exposed to it. Even though we think somewhere between 10 and 40% of kids get influenza each year, you know, each year that they get it, there's a bit more protection. So we want families to get this vaccine every year for their kids and for their families to increase and bolster their immune system. But they've got lots of choice. So they can do, you know, with infants and toddlers, we do the injected vaccine. But after age 2, you can do the nasal spray vaccine. That's a quadrivalent typical vaccine that doesn't cause any pain or discomfort in the office, a spray in each side of the nose. And I'll tell you, the families that I give it to just love that option because it's not a fight.
You know what? I personally, my kids never wanted the nose thing because it goes up in there. And it's like a shock to the system. And I would much prefer a needle myself. And my kids, even when they were little, they're like, okay, wait, it's between that and this and that and this. And we'd go back and forth. And it almost always ended up to be the needle just because that mist comes out so like, you know, and then you're
I've had the mist. My kids have the mist every year. I had the injected. I had actually what's called a needleless injection this year, what's called a jet injector. So no needle even goes in. It just pushes the vaccine into your body with a little bit of an air push. So you feel a big pressure. It's kind of a surprise, but there isn't a lot of pain. You know, we don't have a guidance that says you should do the nasal over the injected. Although there is a bit of data in the past that, you know, because the nasal spray is a live virus vaccine, it might incur or kind of provoke a little bit better of an immune response. But last year, one of the strains in the nasal spray didn't create as much protection. So we really don't have one or the other. So I say this, like if your child would rather have a quick shot in the arm over having a squirt in their nose, sounds good to me. You know, most clinics stock both forms as a vaccine. So let the choice be up to your child. Give them a bit of control when you're kind of doing this kind of regular, here's part of our fall is in October or in November, we're heading off to clinic or to the pharmacy or to the retail store and getting our quick flu vaccine for our whole family.
Give us a quick rundown, Dr. Swanson. We don't have a lot of time left, but we want to get our flu vaccines, and then you can do them now at so many places, you know, Walgreens, and they do free ones at the park districts. I mean, you can get them everywhere now. It's good to get them at your pediatrician because then everybody has the same records. So that we want to make certainly clear. But what if you get the flu? What do you do? What are the symptoms? Give us just a little bit of...
Yeah, so first off, the reason we're doing flu vaccine is to prevent influenza. It causes high fever, body aches, particularly calf pain, can lead to really long-standing and painful ear infections, pneumonia, and even respiratory distress or life-threatening respiratory conditions. So we immunize because the kids have to stay out of school, parents have to get out of work, and it's a miserable infection to get. If you believe at any time during the flu season that you or your child has influenza, in the first 24 to 48 hours, it's worth checking in with your clinic, particularly if you have any underlying health conditions like asthma or breathing trouble, because there are antiviral medicines that we use to treat. It started within the first couple days. Get your family immunized, particularly if underlying health conditions and asthma, or if there are young babies around, so you can really protect them too. And remember, this is an essential every year vaccine for families as we really help our children and our communities maintain strong immunity against influenza.
It's really important. Now, you still have about 1 minute that you can give us if somebody does get the flu. What do you do for them?
Well, no question, it's about symptom control. So, you know, if you believe you've got influenza because your child pops a high fever, you know influenza's in your community. Just so as a reminder, we think influenza tends to peak January, February, and March. So we're going to start to see more and more flu in the next couple of months, but we'll see the most of it really as the new year unfolds. Calling your pediatrician or family doc in the first couple of days, particularly if you have underlying asthma, because those kids have a much harder time, you know, staying home, covering your cough, not going back to work until that cough is suppressed and that fever is gone, and not letting your kids back into school. That's how we keep this from spreading to those patients and families in our community that are really high risk, like pregnant moms. That's the last thing I have to say is this, you know, flu vaccine is a safe and effective vaccine for pregnant moms who are considered high risk for for severe infections and even death from influenza. Last year, only about half of pregnant moms got the flu vaccine. So I want them to talk with their OBs as well, because they not only protect themselves, but they protect that fetus that's developing. So when baby comes out and is too young to get the flu vaccine, they already have a little bit of antibody protection that they get through mom's placenta.
Thank you so much, Dr. Swanson. And you know, Healthy Children is on every Wednesday with us with our great friends from the American Academy of Pediatrics. That's where you're getting the best information from their experts right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.